Good morning. This is the Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I'd like to welcome you. Here it is already, the 1st of March, and I was going to mention to Noah before we got started today. Noah's running the production over there. I was going to mention to him. Now, I've always heard the weather, if March comes in like a lamb, it'll go out like a lion. So let's try to remember. It's pretty here at the 1st of March. We'll see at the end of the month what the weather's doing and see if that's true today. But good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good today. How are
good.
You?
Good. A lot of people have been sick and still trying to get over this stuff. But I want to welcome all of our listeners this morning on AM 1450 WATA right here in the beautiful high country of Boone. And also our listeners on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. We appreciate the opportunity to be on the radio and to share with you the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. The Bible says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And so our radio broadcast, this radio broadcast, is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and we appreciate them taking on the radio broadcast. If you have missed any of these broadcasts, this series, you can find all the previous broadcasts on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org, under the heading of radio. And you can go back all through last year. And so we have that available as well. But we've been studying the founding principles which made our nation great. And I told Noah on the way over here today, I said, I have so much that I could talk about today. I've got too much for 30 minutes of time, but we're just going to jump right in and try to get started today and try to get you as much information as we can. But these founding principles which made our nation great, I'm following the outline in the little book called The 5,000 Year Leap. And I noticed as I was looking at the book this morning, the bottom of it says Principles of Freedom 101. If you go to school, high school, college, they'll outline their different courses. 101, 201, 301, 101 is where to start. And I would say if you're interested in a crash course in American history and the bang for your buck, I would encourage you to buy The 5,000 Year Leap. In about 300 pages, you're going to learn so much about our American history, it's just going to blow your mind. Last week, we looked at the founders' belief in creation. They believed that all things were created by God. All men were equally dependent and equally responsible to Him, talking about God. They believed, and we find this ideas, we find this teaching in the Declaration of Independence and the way our founders believed. They believed all things were created by God. Today, we're going to look at the sixth principle that we come to in that little book, and I've been sharing actually very little as far as the content of the book. I've basically taken these principles and given a scriptural principle, a historical incident, and a modern-day application is what I've been doing in these principles. But the sixth principle, the one that we're going to look at today, is simply all men are created equal. We find this teaching, it's taken from the Declaration of Independence, the second paragraph, where the Declaration of Independence says, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. And that's what I want to look at today and what I want to talk about today, this idea that all men are created equal. Of all the statements and all of the ideas in the Declaration of Independence, this to me is the most profound, considering the day and time in which it was written. I'm sure that to many citizens at that time, this would have been a radical concept. That would not be too strong of a word to describe what that phrase means, all men are created equal, because quite frankly, at that time, I mean, the first thing that somebody would say would be, well, what about slavery? Slavery was practiced at that time. Are you telling me that they believed that all men were created equal? But for them to state that all men are created equal, it just did not jive with the times. That's what I've spent a whole lot of time thinking about, studying about. How does that fit in with the times? That's why I say it's a profound statement. It was a radical thought by many at that time to say, you know, look around us. All men are created equal. And I've studied a lot about this and thought a lot about it. I can find no other source or inspiration for this statement apart from the Holy Scriptures. Where did they get this idea from that all men are created equal? Well, they didn't get it from ancient Rome, ancient Greece. They didn't get it from any other source than the Holy Scriptures. The Bible teaches that all men are created equal, and that's where we're going to start today. The scriptural principle, the teaching that all men are created equal, comes directly from the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament. The scriptural principle, first of all, the Bible, number one, teaches that the whole human race originated from one set of parents. Now, if you go to church, that doesn't surprise you. If you grew up with the Bible in your home, that doesn't surprise you, that statement. But for some people, that might surprise them that there are people that actually believes that. Well, there are. That's what the Bible teaches. We all originated from one original set of parents. What we're talking about is what the Bible teaches about God created the heavens and the earth, and the first people God made were Adam and Eve, and we all descend from Adam and Eve. The Bible says this in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. The Bible says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." The Bible teaches we all come not from different, but from one set of original parents. Now, I remember years ago, the question come to my mind, and maybe you've dealt with this and understand it, and maybe not, but I begin to think to myself, where do the different races come from? If everybody came from Adam and Eve, then where did the different races of people come from? The answer also is found in the Bible. Now, let me mention this. First of all, today, the Bible never mentions the word race. What I mean by that, if you've got a driver's license, pull it out, look on it. You'll find on your driver's license there is a place for your race. You go to fill out government paperwork, a lot of times it'll have a place for your race. If you go to buy a gun, as this is something I'm very familiar with, having once upon a time been in the firearms industry and filling out paperwork, if somebody comes to buy a gun, they'll have to fill out, and there's a box for them to check their race, white, Hispanic, goodness, I don't know. I just have always checked one, but a Native American Indian, I don't know. There's probably about eight boxes to check, and then there's other as well. But this thought of race does not come from the Bible. But in the Bible, we do have the answer to the question, where do the different races come from? The Bible does not mention the word race. The Bible teaches the different nations. And quickly this morning, I could spend a long time in this, but of course in the Bible we find Adam and Eve. Well, mankind corrupted itself upon the earth, became very wicked and ungodly. God was displeased with the whole human race, and God said that he would destroy the peoples of the earth. But the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And of course, most are familiar with the story of Noah's Ark, how God told Noah to build an ark. And he found Noah and his family righteous, and Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three wives were the only ones left after a worldwide flood. And the earth was repopulated by Noah's three sons. His three sons' names were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You can find this in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. Read chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. You'll find the story of Shem, Ham, and Japheth and all the things that I'm talking about this morning. But Noah's Ark landed on the mountains of Ararat, the Bible says, which is in modern-day Turkey. And from that location, the earth was repopulated through the descendants of Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I do not have time to get all into this today. I will just quickly summarize where his descendants went. The descendants of Shem, now his name means a name. From Shem came the descendants of Abraham and his children. Now, you know that song we sing in church, Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. We think about Abraham and the Jewish descendancy, but not all of Abraham's descendants were Jewish. Abraham's descendants populated the area of the world that we now know basically as the Middle East, not just the Jewish descendants, but all of his other children as well. He had many sons, the song says, and that is true to the biblical account. To be a true Jewish person, you'd also have to be a descendant of Isaac and Jacob, and Jacob's sons, the 12 tribes. That's where the Jewish people come from. But Abraham had other sons. He had Isaac, but he also had his other son, Ishmael, and we read about his descendants in the Bible as well. And God also made of his descendancy great nations. Ham, the name Ham means dark. If you study about where Ham and his descendants went to, they went into modern-day Egypt. They made up the ancient Egyptians, and also they populated the African nations. This is where the dark races of people originally come from. And then he had another son whose name is Japheth. The name Japheth means let him spread out, and from his descendants came the European peoples, modern-day Europe, and the Caucasian nations, the Anglo-Saxon people, came from Japheth. That's a very interesting study, and I could take up a whole hour just talking about the truths that we find in God's Word there. But the Bible says, I thought I had written the verse down. I don't guess I did, but it's over in Genesis chapter number 9 where it talks about through Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth were populated all the nations of the earth at that time. It's in Genesis chapter number 9 if you care to look it up later. I thought I had it written down, but I don't. So we'll skip over that. In the New Testament, we have the Apostle Paul. He is preaching in Acts chapter number 17 to Gentiles, non-Jewish people. He is in Athens. He is preaching concerning the worship of the true and living God versus their idol worship. They had many gods that they worshiped. They even had a monument to the unknown God. And so Paul is there in Athens, and he's preaching to these people. And he says in Acts 17 and verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein. That gets back to the subject of there is a creator. God made the world and all things therein. Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning was, God created all things. I was quoting out of John chapter 1 and verse 1, but he said in verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein. He goes on down. Verse 25 said, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Verse 26 says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. So the Old Testament teaches the proliferation of nations, the New Testament as well. But here we find a very interesting truth. God made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. New Testament Christianity teaches that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We've all sinned. That means red, yellow, black, and white. We're all equal to in coming to salvation by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. One race of people does not have an advantage over another race of people. We all find ourselves created equal before God. We all need Him the same and in the same way. Galatians chapter 3, the book of Galatians in the New Testament, chapter 3 and verse 28. The Apostle Paul, once again, writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." The only difference between white, black, red, yellow, the different, what we refer to as races of men, if scientifically speaking, I'm talking about now, the only difference is the amount or lack of the color pigmentation in one's skin. The blood doesn't have a difference in it. We're all created equal before God. If you are in an accident this afternoon and you need to have a blood transfusion, the only thing that matters is the type. A positive, A, B, however many types there are, I don't know. It does not matter. What I mean, if a Hispanic person and a Native American Indian and a white person went down to the blood bank and they gave blood, you don't fill in a spot that says you're a white person and this blood goes to a white person, or you're an Indian and this blood is for an Indian. God has made, this is what the Bible teaches, hath made of one blood all nations of men. We are all created equal in the sight of God. Historically speaking, the greatest friend of equality, the equality of all men, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more next week, Lord willing, but we're equal before God. We are equal before the law, which means first degree murder. Doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, it's applied equally across the board. This is what our founders were trying to establish at that time, that all men should be equal before God, before the law of the land, and also concerning the protection of their rights. I'm just mentioning that. I'll say more about it next week. But the greatest friend of equality, the equality of all men, was the gospel preacher and the Christian missionaries at that time. Now, I'm going to read and say some things, historically speaking, and I hope I don't offend anybody in talking about these things or reading or making reference to the way that things were once upon a time looked at and thought of in this country. But society at that time, many people in society at that time, and I'm quoting directly, thought that the Negro has no soul. And I'm not saying that in a slanderous or, you know, I'm not trying to be politically correct, but I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings today. But that was the thought once upon a time by some, not all, in this country, that the Negro had no soul, and there was slavery at that time. Or you can also read and study this out for yourself. When the white people began to come into contact with the Indians, they said, and the thought was at that time, some people, not everybody, but the Indians were savages and no different than an animal, no different than a beast. And that's a blot on our society. I recognize that. I realize that. But that was not the thought of everybody at that time. For example, men like George Whitefield, and I have mentioned him many, many, many times. There's a book, and I think it states it in a good way, the Forgotten Founding Father. George Whitefield, a great gospel preacher. George Washington knew him. Patrick Henry knew him. Many of our founding forefathers knew he was America's first celebrity. God greatly used him in the Great Awakening. George Whitefield, gospel preacher. men like missionary David Brainerd, who at that time spent his life, and I mean spent in a way, he literally gave his life. He died trying to reach the Indians with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. David Brainerd was a Baptist missionary, one of the greatest missionaries our country has ever produced. Had a great heart for the Indian people. And many times when he was sick and couldn't go, he would be in his cabin and he would pray. And he would pray, oh, that God for his Indians. He loved the Indian people. He knew they had a soul. He knew they could be reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they had a different language. They had different customs, but they were people nevertheless and needed the saving grace of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But men like George Whitefield and missionaries like David Brainerd and many, many others, they were the pioneers in getting people in America to see that there was no difference. And even, as I read in Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. You're all one in Jesus Christ. George Whitefield, I'm going to read from one of the from something that he wrote many, many years ago. The slave population loved him. He would go many times. He preached in their churches. He went to their homes. He visited them. He spent time among the black people at that time. Phyllis Wheatley, who is America's first black poetess to be published, she was saved under the ministry of George Whitefield, and she wrote many poems. But one poem she wrote about George Whitefield, and I thought I had it written down. I think I do, but I don't think I'll take the time. I'll just try to quote it. She said, "Flee to him, ye Africans. Impartial Savior is his name," talking about George Whitefield, because he loved the black people and tried to witness them and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. But George Whitefield said this in one of his journals. He said, "I went, as my usual custom is, among the Negroes." He said, "One man was sick in bed, and two of his children said their prayers after me very well. This more and more convinces me that Negro children, if early brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, would make as great proficiency as any white people's children." And so he was a great voice for equality among men, and to get people to see that they're people just like you. And I'm saying that today from a historical perspective. Not everybody seen it that way in the early 1700s, but George Whitefield, a preacher of the gospel, he contended for the equality of the slave people, and George Brainerd contended for the equality and the worth of the Indian people. It would be good, I don't have time today, William Wilberforce, I'll just quickly mention this. Nobody did more in the country of England to abolish slavery than William Wilberforce. William Wilberforce heard George Whitefield preach when he was a young person, and later on in his life he was converted to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wrote about the influence of George Whitefield. Of course, I've already mentioned Phyllis Wheatley. Both of these people were fruit of the ministry of George Whitefield, but there are plenty of white people and black people and Indian, Native American Indians in our nation who hold our history in disdain. What I mean by that, they hate America. And they say, many of them, that the founding fathers were just a bunch of rich white slaveholders. And why should we hold them up? Why should we honor them? Why should we even like the country of America, considering that they say, now take note that I'm saying this, that they were just a bunch of rich white slaveholders. Now, just as a matter of setting the record straight, if we're going to look at history, we need to look at all of history, and we need to acknowledge all of history. I want to I'll just give a little fact along those lines. I'll call it a Paul Harvey moment. Now the rest of the story, the U.S. Census of 1830 showed that 3,775 free African Americans, I'll say it like that today, the black people, owned 12,760 African Americans as slaves. So you cannot just lay that on the white people at that time. It was a way of life. And I'm not upholding it. I'm not saying it's a good thing. Somebody said to me one time, I have heard it said, well, people like you just want to go back to having black people as slaves. I've had that said to me. Now, here's my answer to that. I've got news for you today. If that's the way you feel, I've got news for you. Black people are already slaves, and white people are already slaves. We have left our founding, what the founders envisioned for this nation. We have left that. And we, whether you like it or not today, we are slaves to an out-of-control, ever-growing, my goodness, we are so in debt in this nation to other nations. The government controls every aspect. There is nothing that you can think of that the United States federal government does not try to regulate in one way or the other. If you can think of it, you email me, let me know, blessingsofliberty@charter.net. I'd love to know what it is, but the federal government regulates everything, and we live our lives within the regulations. We're slaves already. I don't want anybody to be a slave, black, white, red, yellow, it does not matter to me what the color of your skin is, but for those who continually preach and teach, and I've got to quickly wind up the radio broadcast today, but there are those that say all the time, you know, we need to do away with this capitalism and free market and the Constitution and all of these things. It's bad. It come from slaveholders and rich people and all of these things. And those who preach continually that America is a place of racism and oppression and inequality. And I mean, these things are brought up all the time. Who was it? Justice Holder. What? I can't remember his first name. But anyway, he said, you know, racism in America, people won't deal with it. Recently down in Charlotte, there was a big fuss about that Charlotte was a racist place, and they're trying to draw the NAACP to do boycotts of the city and all of these things like that. I've got three things to say, and I'm not trying to be smart, and I'm not trying to be contentious or anything like that. But if you believe America is a place of racism and inequality, I've got three things to say to you. Tiger Woods, Oprah Winfrey, Barack Hussein Obama. Don't tell me that hard work, effort is not recognized and appreciated in our country. And no matter what your background is, in America, more so than any other nation upon the face of the earth, because of the foundation of our founding forefathers. I realize society was different at that time, but because of that foundation, we have more of an opportunity than anybody else. The Declaration of Independence, you ought to thank God for this. They laid the foundation. All men are created equal. I want to, I don't have time. I'm just about done. Noah's going to give you the contact information in just a moment, but study this man out. Eldridge Cleaver, he was a Black Panther back in the 1960s. He was going to be arrested for being involved in a shootout in California. He fled the country. He was a communist. He wanted to overthrow the government at that time. But what they did was he came back. He lived in France and Algiers and somewhere like that. He wanted to come back to America. He said, I'd rather be in jail in America than free anybody else. He got saved, by the way, by the grace of God. Noah, go ahead. Thank you for listening. We certainly appreciate it.
This has been the Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. The church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can contact us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That is mountlebanonbc.org, mtlebanonbc.org.